And especially because the youth, which is a very critical period of our life, it is very important that everybody comes, because as we see that in today's educational society, only numbers and figures are being taught to everybody. We see in schools, colleges, that's all everybody is being taught. But here we are trying to teach values and thoughts, because once people's thoughts are transformed, then their actions and character also can be transformed. Right? Unless we have proper thoughts and proper guidelines, then we don't know how to shape our lives. So this program has been specifically arranged for that. And thank you for allowing us to do this service for you all and coming in spite of a very, very hot summer day. You can see how everybody is sweating and, you know, maybe dreaming of the nice cool winter times when we had Chetna program, when it was so nice and cool. But as we know that we'll have to wait for a few more months before the next winter this thing comes, because this is the rule of the seasons, that we have four seasons, right? Summer, winter, spring and fall. These are the four seasons. That's how the year has been divided. And each season lasts for about 3 to 4 months. But just as we have these seasonal changes in the division of year, similarly, on a larger scale, in a millennium, we also have seasonal changes. And these seasonal changes of the yugas are divided in also into four, which are called Satyug, Dwaparyug, Satyug, Tretayug, Dwaparyug and Kaliyug. So just as it is summer going on right now, which yuga is going on? Kali the Great, as we saw in the drama, the reign of Kali. This is the reign of Kali going on. And what is the duration of Kali? Anybody knows that? Summer season lasts for 3 months, not 3 years. Nobody wants it to last for 3 years. 3 months it lasts for, but Kali, Kaliyug, it lasts for 4,32,000 years. Big period, huh? And how many years have gone by? Only 5,000. It's like in 3 months of summer, only 4-5 days have gone and you say, it's so hot now, we don't know what will happen in May and June. It will be terribly hot. So within 5,000 years, this is the condition. Then what will happen later on? God alone knows. We don't know. We don't even want to live to see what will happen at the end of Kali. Hopefully Krishna saves us before that. So this is the time of Kaliyug going on. We just wanted to give you a brief history that how Kali began, when did it begin, and how its reign came about over here. As we said that 5,000 years ago, Kali began its rule. And we know 5,000 years ago was the time when Krishna left this planet and he went back, right? So while Krishna was there, there was no chance of Kaliyug to have come, because Krishna is like the sun and Kaliyug is like the darkness. Where there is sun, there cannot be the presence of any darkness at that time. So Kali had no power to come. But as soon as Krishna left, he put Yudhishthir as the king, and Yudhishthir ruled for some years. But as soon as Krishna left, the Pandavas lost any interest in continuing with their kingdom and ruling things. They wanted to retire, but they couldn't do till the next king was not ready. And the next king would have been the son, but the son was already killed. As we know, Abhimanyu, he was killed in the battle of Kurukshetra. So his son had to grow up to the right age and capacity when he could reign properly. And the name of his Abhimanyu's son was Parikshit. So this Parikshit, when he grew up, as soon as he grew up, Yudhishthir Maharaj and all the Pandavas, they very nicely, they just left without any attachment to continuing in the kingdom and all. And then Parikshit started ruling, following in the footsteps of his forefathers, his uncles, his granduncles, his grandfather. And the rule was very beautiful. Can you imagine what was going on at that time? The citizens were happy. They were peaceful. There were no fights. There was no crime going on at that time. The land was producing a lot of crops. There was a lot of wealth everywhere. Everybody was happy. There were no thieves, no dacoits. As I'm saying, I can see people's, that is this possible or is just some utopian idea that you are saying? But no, this is true. We are not just telling you some story to pacify you. This was actually happening at that time. And how was this possible? It was possible because Parikshit Maharaj was a Rajarshi. Rajarshi means Raja, that is a king who is a Rishi also. it sounds like a dichotomy, but that used to be in the olden days. There are many such Rajarshis. Like Maharaj Yudhishthir was there, there was Prahlad Maharaj, Dhruva Maharaj. Many of the kings were like that, who were Ambarish Maharaj was there, who were practicing their ruling their kingdom with these principles in mind. So he was such a wonderful Rajarshi that all these things were a reality and it was not a utopian idea, because they were all guided by very, very intelligent Brahmanas. In those days, they were the kings of the whole world and they had advisors who were Brahmanas, because the society used to be divided according to Varnashram. Varnashram is the classification of society which has been ordained by God himself. God in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Chatur Varnam Maya Srishtam Guna Karma Vibhagasha, that the society has been divided into four divisions. The four divisions are Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra. The Brahmins are the advisors to the administrative class. They guide the society. Kshatriyas are the protective class. They protect the entire citizens and everybody and they make them happy. Then the third is the Vaishyas, who are the trade and business people. They feed the people, the farmers, they grow the crops and everything. And the last is the Shudras, who used to be serving the other three classes. But today we see, you know, that everybody wants equal rights. They want a classless society. There should not be any classes. All of us should be equal. But is this possible? We see that in all classes, there are always divisions. Even you see in plants, you see in animals, even in plants, there are flowering plants, plants that give fruits. Those plants which give only wood, which can be used for burning and all. All plants don't have the same purpose. Even in animals, there are societies. Srila Prabhupada used to say there is the crow society, there is the swan society. And all these things, these divisions are on the basis of, not because of birth, they are on the basis of guna and karma, on the basis of the qualities that they possess. Like crows, they always like to be in garbage cans. And swans, they also always like to be in beautiful lakes. Now you will not see them meet, that all the swans and crows meet together near the garbage, or all the crows will also go and meet in a lake. It's not possible. It's not according to their nature. They will work only according to their nature. So whether you give the title of Brahmin, Vaishya, Shudra or Kshatriya, or you don't give, these classes are always going to be there in society, because it is like a society is compared to a body. A body has a head, a body has arms, body has belly and body has legs. So Brahmins are compared to the head, the Kshatriyas are compared to the arms which protect, the Vaishyas are compared to the belly which produce food grains to feed the society, and the Shudras are compared to the legs, which are the working class that they will do. Now imagine a society which has no head. If you see a headless person, it's a dead body, right? You cannot have a person without any heads. Or suppose there is somebody who has no hands or no belly. That is like a dead society. So this is not possible. There will always be classes of people in any given society, anywhere, wherever you might say it. So in the same way, Maharaj Parikshit, he was a Kshatriya. And what type of Kshatriya he was? He was not a false Kshatriya. Today we have these Brahmins and Vaishya Shudras, but they are all cheaters. Instead of being teachers, Brahmins are teachers, they used to be cheaters. Because what will they teach unless they themselves don't know? So Prabhupada used to say that they are 50 paisa Brahmins. What is 50 paisa Brahmin means? To be a Brahmin, you need a janoi, right? You have a thread. Now you can go to the market and pay 50 paisa and get a janoi and can say, I am a Brahmin. But that doesn't make us a Brahmin. Or you might say that I am a Kshatriya, but you just sit in your house and you send other people to fight and you collect taxes from everybody just to guard your own body and have millions of dollars behind bodyguards. Instead of protecting the citizens, you are just busy protecting yourself. So this is not the type of Brahmins or Kshatriyas that we are looking for. We are looking for real Brahmins, real Kshatriyas, and that is what Maharaj Parikshit was. How was he real? Because he used to follow all the prescribed duties of a Kshatriyas. And one of the duties of a Kshatriya was that you have to tour your kingdom to just see how is everything going on. Not just sit in your throne and just enjoy drinking and womanizing and everything. You have to go out and into your kingdom and see whether all the citizens are law abiding, they are following the Vedic laws, they are following the state laws, is everybody happy. So he was on one of his tours, like this on one of the days, and he saw a very, very unusual sight, which was very uncommon and never seen or heard of before in his reign. What did he see? He saw that one black man who was a Shudra by his Varna and Ashram, but he was posing as a king. And what was he doing? He was beating a cow and a bull. Ruthlessly, he was beating a cow and a bull, and the bull was standing only on one leg. Bulls have four legs, right? All animals have four legs. But he was standing only on one leg, and the cow was crying with tears in her eyes, looking at the condition of the bull, the way he was being mistreated by this black man. So, suppose we were to pass by from there, we would feel, so what, some animals are being beaten, we'll just go away. Even in fact, if you see human beings being beaten like this, we don't stop nowadays. Because it's such a common sight. Everywhere it is happening, so what to stop? But in Maharaj Parikshit's reign, it was very unusual. It never had happened. So Parikshit was very much alarmed that, how is this happening to a cow and a bull? And he didn't think that, chalo, it's a cow and a bull, if it was a human being, I would protect. No, he knew that all the citizens have to be protected. And citizens didn't mean only human beings. Even animals were citizens. Because what is a citizen? Anybody born in your nation is a citizen. So even an ant is a citizen. Even a cow is a citizen. Even a bull is a citizen. But only a great soul can have this equal vision. Otherwise you will only see humans only as citizens and you will not see other people. And what to talk of any other person being beaten up. When he saw the cow being beaten up, it was too much. Because he knew, what is a cow? Cow is our mother. How does cow become our mother? We have our own mothers. How does a cow become mother? Anybody would like to? Yeah. Cow gives milk. And because mother gives milk, she is also supposed to be one of our mothers. Right? The cow. And also, besides being our mother, it was also that cow is very dear to Krishna, right? We see on the altar when the darshan was open, there are so many cows on the altar. We see all these pictures here. Krishna is with so many cows. So because Krishna loves so many cows and he loves the cow, so we love the cow. If he would have loved some asses, then we would have loved asses because that's what Krishna loves, so we love them. But because the cow is so dear, Parikshit was all the more alarmed and he wanted to help out the cow. Because this is not the natural situation. A cow is supposed to be happy. A happy cow gives more milk. We have our community in ISKCON, New Vrindavan community, where the cows are protected so well that they give profuse milk. If you see their udders, they have this big udders. And one cow gives 80 pounds of milk daily. You will not be able to believe it because cows in India, they have such small udders and hardly 1 liter, 2 liters of milk they will give, but because they are so well protected, they used to give profuse milk to everybody, and they had no fear that we will be killed or slaughtered. But today people cannot, they don't like cow's milk, they like cow's meat, they like the cow's blood. Actually milk is a transformation of blood, but they cannot even wait that let the milk be blood be transformed into milk, but they want that we should eat the cow's flesh. This is the type of society that we are living in today. And besides the cow, the bull was there. And bull is the, like cow is the mother, bull is the father. How is the bull father? Because he tills the land for us. Father is the breadwinning member of the family. He earns for us, right? So same way, bull tills the land for us, so he is the father. And besides that, bull represents dharma. Bull is a representative of dharma for us. So, when Parikshit Maharaj saw this bull, he saw that he was standing only on one leg. Out of four legs, he was standing on one leg. So if we are to analyze that, what are these four legs representing? And what is this one leg which is representing, which is just the bull is standing on right now? We have to first of all understand what is dharma. That then we can understand on what the four legs are being supporting dharma. So if you ask, as Preeti Manjari asked, that what is the definition of dharma? None of us could explain. And actually, because it sounds very complicated that big, big books and so much knowledge of dharma is given. But if you were to explain in one line, dharma means obedience to the laws of God. Does it make sense? Just explaining it in one line means obedience to the laws of God. There are laws which have not been manufactured by you or me or her or him or Srila Prabhupada. They have been manufactured by the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself. And that is why they are the supreme laws which everybody has to follow. And any religion which teaches us to follow these laws of dharma is supposed to be first class religion. Religion can never be sectarian. It is not okay, which religion do you belong to? Oh, I am a Hindu. You are a Christian. I am a Muslim. Or I am a Jain. It cannot be. First class religion is what Krishna himself says. First class religion is, anybody remembers that shloka? Savai Pumsa Paro Dharmo Yato Bhaktir Adokshaja. Adokshaja is the name of? Whose name is Adokshaja? God's name. God has so many names, out of which one of the names is Adokshaja. So first class religion is that which helps you to become a devotee of God. Or, in other words, helps you to become devoted to God. That is real religion. Not any concocted, manufactured religion that I think religion is this and you think religion is that. That is not religion. So if you were to analyze religion, it's a very scientific system. And why is it scientific? Because it brings out the fullest potential from a human being. Intellectually, physically, emotionally, socially, in all forms, it makes us a complete human being. If you are not a human being, then what are you? We are an animal. There is a shloka in the Mahabharata which says, dharmo hi eko adhiko visheso dharmena hina pashubhi samanam, which means that dharmo hi eko, dharma is the only thing which makes us different from pashus. And if you don't have that dharma in our life, then we are same as pashubhis. Dharmena hina, without dharma, pashubhi samanam, we are same like the pashus. There is no difference between us and the animals, right? So now if we understand that religion is non-sectarian, it is not based on any faith, ke Hindu, Muslim and all, then suppose we were to perform an experiment and take all the religions of the world, genuine religions, I don't mean concocted religion, genuine religions, and you put it through a filtration process. You filter all the religions. So what will come out? Different dogmas and different things will come out. And what will come down will be universal principles which are common to all the religions of the world. And how many are they? They are four in number. Four universal principles of any religion that would come out. And what are those principles? Anybody? The four principles are cleanliness, mercy, austerity and truthfulness. Cleanliness, mercy, austerity and truthfulness. These are the four pillars of dharma. As we coming to the title of the lecture, that these are the four pillars which are represented by the four legs of the bull. Four legs, and these were the four things that were upholding dharma. We know pillars are meant to uphold anything, to hold anything up. We need pillars. So these four, they are the pillars that are upholding. When we say that cleanliness, we mean cleanliness of not only external cleanliness, cleanliness of body, mind, everything. As we say, cleanliness is next to godliness. This is a very common phrase that we see. And we see mercy. Mercy is, it can be only born out of love and compassion. Otherwise there can never be mercy. Third is austerity. What does austerity mean? Austerity means restriction. If one word of austerity compared to restriction means the power to say no. No for higher principles of going about self-realization. So to be able to say no is the principle of austerity. And truthfulness means abiding by the words of God, who is the supreme absolute truth. So there can be no truth higher than him. So truthfulness refers to these. And all these four principles were followed to the fullest in Satyug. Coming back to the original yugas, four yugas that we talked about. In Satyug, all these four principles were there 100%. But as the yugas kept progressing, dharma started diminishing. When it came to Treta Yuga, it came to 3/4. Religion became 75%. Then when Dwapar Yuga came, it still diminished still further and it became half. And when Kali Yuga came, it became 1/4. And it is still diminishing till it will become zero. All these principles are still diminishing. So the one leg that remains in Kali Yuga is that of truthfulness. So now, nowadays if you tell, you know, that, oh, we follow these four principles of dharma, people say, my God, you are an outcast, you know. To break these principles is considered very fashionable. That, oh, we have to break, then you are a normal human being. But you follow all this, follow mercy, you follow austerity, then you are a, what are you? You are a, like a leper or something, you know, outcast. You don't gel with the whole world. But what is the objective of Kali? The king who was there, his objective is to make us break these pillars. That's what he wants us to do. So when Parikshit Maharaj, he saw that how the bull was standing on one leg, he started to analyze that what is the cause of this bull standing on one leg. And he could understand that it is the Shudra man. And the Shudra man, he represents Kali. So this Kali, he wanted that the reign of Dharma should not be there and his reign should be there. He wanted to establish his pillars also. So unless he breaks these pillars, he cannot establish his pillars. So what is the purpose of Kali? Kali is systematically, mind this word, you know, very, very systematically, it is trying to one by one destroy all these pillars and put up his own pillars so that his reign is supreme and dharma is destroyed. So what are the four pillars which he is trying to replace? Each of the four pillars of dharma, he is trying to replace with his own pillars. So his Kali's pillars are what? Illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication and gambling. And this is in place of the pillars of dharma which were there. So now we will try to see that how these four pillars are breaking the four pillars of dharma. So we'll take the first principle of illicit sex. The first pillar of dharma was cleanliness. And cleanliness is destroyed by illicit sex. Now one might wonder, you know, what is the connection? Illicit sex and cleanliness. First of all, we have to know what is illicit sex. Sex outside of married life. Unregulated sex. That is illicit sex. Sex according to religious principles is not forbidden. But irreligion is not encouraged over here. So how is it that illicit sex destroys cleanliness? Cleanliness means pure. But nowadays nobody follows any purificatory samskaras or anything. So what is happening? Because of not being able to follow these purificatory samskaras, the mind is becoming filled with all these dirty elements, these anarthas, these six things that we saw. Greed, anger, lust, pride, envy, illusion. They are all polluting our mind so badly that our mind is not being able to get clean. And because of that, we have started thinking that we are the enjoyer. When you indulge in illicit sex, you start thinking that I am the enjoyer. But when our mind is clean, at that time you realize your constitutional position that God is the real enjoyer and I am the enjoyed. And then the mind is clean and no more these bad thoughts affect us. Like one time our Guru Maharaj Radhanath Swami, he was on the airport and he met one ecologist. And that ecologist saw Maharaj in a saffron robes. So she started asking him that, you are from the Hare Krishna movement. What does your Hare Krishna movement do to help the ecology of the society? You know, what is the use of just chanting and giving lectures and all that? What is it doing tangibly to help the ecology of society? So Maharaj explained to her that ecology of society can be maintained by avoiding pollution. But the main pollution outside is there because of the pollution inside. Our hearts are polluted, therefore there is pollution outside. So if we clean the hearts, then there will be no pollution outside. So that is what we are trying to do. We are trying to avoid internal pollution. We are trying to clean the hearts so that the external ecology can be maintained. And this person was really touched. Okay, oh, this is what a real sadhu is meant to be doing and this is a bona fide movement. And forget to talk of internal cleanliness. Nowadays, nobody is even bothered about external cleanliness. I was very much, this is very common that in many countries abroad, people don't take bath daily. In India, sometimes you take 2-3 times a day bath, But they don't take daily baths. And that is why the increasing use of perfumes and deodorants and all is there. Because you just want to hide your bad smell. You don't take bath, you don't want to smell bad to anybody whom you meet. So you use profusely perfumes and deodorants just to cover up your uncleanliness, which is there. So what is the... we understand that we have to somehow or the other become clean internally and externally. And how is this possible? This has been explained in this verse, which says, Om apavitro pavitro va sarva vastam gatopi va yat smaret pundari kaksham sa bahya abhyantara suchi. Bahya and abhyantara, internal and externally, you can become clean. How? By remembering pundari kaksha. Pundari kaksha means the Lord who has got lotus eyes. So by thinking about God, by remembering God, you can become internally and externally clean. So that is the way we can uphold this dharma, this pillar of cleanliness. That is first. Is that clear? First pillar of dharma. This is how we can uphold it. If we come to the second pillar, which was meat eating. Meat eating destroys the pillar of mercy. If we talk of mercy today, it simply sounds like a joke. It sounds like a hypocrisy, because where is mercy? There was once a TV show and abroad, and on the TV show, on the radio show and TV shows over there, you can ask questions to the people in the audience. So the one man sued another man on the TV show for having his dog, giving his dog a very short leash. The belt that was tying the dog was only like 2 feet, so the dog didn't have enough space to move around, and he was getting very upset that this is cruelty. This cruelty to animals because it's such a short leash. So another devotee, he counter-questioned him on the TV show, and he asked him that, my dear sir, you are suing this person for having a cruelty towards animals. What did you eat for dinner today? And this man said, of course I had meat. And that devotee explained to him that at least this man gave him only a leash, but the animal was alive. But you have killed this animal. You have killed the dog. And you are talking of protecting cruelty to animals. What is this? This is all hypocrisy. This is a symptom of Kali Yuga. Quarrel and hypocrisy. Everybody talks something, but they don't walk their talk, as they put it in the today's language. Nobody does it. And people say, oh, animals, they don't have soul. So we can kill the animals. But how can you say animals have no soul? Go to the slaughterhouses and hear the screams of the animals and then say that animals have no souls. Can you say that? We have a beautiful film which we didn't have time to show. But if anybody who watches this film cannot help but wet handkerchiefs and handkerchiefs. And it's so much disgusting and painful to see how the animals, they just cry. How they are dragged into the slaughterhouse, how they are killed, and rivers of blood is just flowing out of the slaughterhouse. Those people who work for longer years in the slaughterhouse, some of them, they become mad because they cannot take this. They cannot see this merciless behavior. And people say that animals have no soul. In fact, today we would say that humans have no soul. And we would not be wrong in saying that. Why? Because mothers, they are killing their sons, their children in the womb, taking them where? To Mamta abortion center. What is Mamta? Mamta means motherly affection. And that is what every woman is meant for. And what is that Mamta coming up into? You take a child to this Mamta abortion center and kill it. The mother itself kills. Not even an animal will do that. Animals will give their lives to protect their children and to save their lives. But humans, so-called advancement, they are killing their own children in the wombs. So where is the mercy? It's only just in namesake. And it's impossible, to prove. Nobody can prove that animals have no soul. So we will kill it. And even if, how can you say that even if they have lower level of intelligence, how can you kill? Krishna says that sarva yonishu kaunteya aham bija pradapita, that I am the seed giving father of all living entities. So he has equally fatherly affection for all living entities. So he will not tolerate it, that if a more intelligent brother, suppose you have two brothers and sisters, one is a crippled child or one is a, you know, mad child. So the elder brother will kill the younger brother, say that he is mad, you know. Will the father tolerate that? For him, both children are equal because he loves them equally out of fatherly affection. But this is not to be seen in today's day and age. And they talk of mercy. It is, at least if we can become humans and have some value for life itself and not consider life so cheap, then we will be worthy of being called as human beings. So this is the principle of mercy, which can be protected by not eating meat. So that is the second pillar of dharma which can be upheld. The third is intoxication. And intoxication is destroyed by, austerity. And austerity is destroyed by intoxication. The third pillar is austerity, which is destroyed by intoxication. How is that? Austerity, as we explained, means restriction. The power to say no. How many of us are able to say no? We can't, you know. Even if you have diabetes or something, some sweet comes in front of us, we just can't say no. Anything, even if we know it is not good for us, we cannot say no. And where do you get this power to say no from? From the power of discrimination. To be able to know what is good and what is bad. And when you get intoxicated, you lose the power of discrimination. You can't understand what is good for me or bad for me. Is it true? One time Srila Prabhupada was in an Alcoholic Anonymous program and there were many people over there. So he was trying to explain to everybody that how if you practice tapasya and austerity, then you will be saved from becoming animals. So this one man puts up his hand and he says, but Swamiji, I don't think there is anything wrong in becoming dogs. I don't mind becoming a dog. So Prabhupada became so surprised and disgusted with him. He's saying, okay, then you have my blessings to become a dog. Become a dog, you know. What else can you tell such a person that that's what you want to become? You become. You cannot say no. You have no control over your senses. So when we become intoxicated, we lose this power of discrimination. We cannot understand and we give up what we are not supposed to give up and we hold on to what we are not supposed to hold on to. Like one time, one sadhu went to a king and this king started glorifying the sadhu that, oh, you are such a great sadhu, you know, you are such a great renunciate and a tyagi. So this sadhu told that, no, Maharaj, I think you are a bigger tyagi than I am. So king said, how is that, you know? You have renounced everything, you have no house, you have no money, you have nothing. And how do you say I am a bigger tyagi than you? Saying because house and money is very small things. But you have renounced the biggest thing, you have renounced God. So that's why you are the biggest tyagi, you know. You are bigger tyagi than I am a tyagi. So this is the way society is going today. People are, they are giving up because of lack of discrimination. So if we can understand that dharma, actually we feel scared of dharma because we feel dharma binds us. We don't like too many do's and too many don'ts and I will not be able to do this and I will not be able to do this. But if we understand with our intelligence, bondage to the right thing leads to ultimate freedom. You understand? Bondage to the right thing leads to ultimate freedom. How is that? If suppose we have so many laws governing the state, suppose you are following traffic laws. If you follow the traffic laws and drive following the signals and everything, then you can drive freely. There will be no chaos, no traffic jams, anything. But suppose you drive freely, you say, I don't want any bondage. I don't want to follow any laws, traffic. Then what will be? Traffic jams, accidents, imprisonment, all these things will happen. So what is better? To follow the binding of the laws of traffic and enjoy freedom or not follow and enjoy bondage and imprisonment? Intelligent person can obviously understand that it's better to follow. So same way, if we follow the laws of dharma, then it leads us to ultimate freedom. It will not lead us to bondage. So that, we have to use that intelligence and not get scared unnecessarily. Okay, no, I don't want to follow dharma or anything. So that is the third pillar of dharma, austerity, which is upheld by not indulging in intoxication. And the fourth pillar, which is the pillar of truthfulness, which is that one leg on which that bull was standing, is destroyed by gambling. How does gambling destroy it? Gambling means dishonest means of earning. It means, dishonest means of earning. You cannot gamble honestly. Can you say I am an honest gambler? You have ever heard of honest gamblers? Nowhere it will be there, right? But today, you know, everywhere so much dishonesty and untruth is prevailing that truthfulness just seems like a dream. In olden days, there was once a boy who went to Gautam Muni and he told him that, please accept me as your disciple. So Gautam Muni said, I accept only Brahmins as disciples. I don't accept any other caste. What is your caste? So he said, I will ask my mother and I will let you know. So then he went to ask his mother. And he went to his mother and he asked that, who is my father? So his mother looked down because she was a prostitute. And she didn't know who is the father. So she said, I don't know who is your father. So he went and he told Gautam Muni that, I don't know who is my father because my mother is a prostitute. And Gautam Muni said, you must be the son of a Brahmin because you are honest. Otherwise you could have just come and told a lie to me that I am a son of a Brahmin. That much honesty was there in those days that they didn't even think of lying. But today, lying is a second nature of everybody. If you say that I am, you have to in fact convince people that, Nani, please believe me. You know, believe it or not, because nobody believes anybody that this is there. So we see that everywhere, all these four things are constantly being done. And especially to us youth who are on the threshold of life, we are constantly being exposed and bombarded by all these agents of Kali. These four agents of Kali, as we saw all these agents in the drama, they are all coming and giving us all this false propaganda to allure us, to tempt us, to exploit us. They just want us to believe in them. But what are we supposed to do? If we believe in them, then we will land up leading a life of sin. Life based on sin, and we will not be able to at all practice any of the principles even of humanity. As we say that there are only two rulers in this world. God is the ruler of the kingdom of dharma and Kali is the ruler of kingdom of sin. So we have to make our choice at every moment, and especially at this young age, this is the threshold of our life and we have to make the choice. And these type of programs that we arrange helps us to make the right choice that under whose pillars do we want to be? Under the pillars of God, which, you know, pillars of dharma, and be under the rule of God, or we want to be under the pillars of Kali, which can break at any time. So although it might appear that we are in minority, today majority seems to be under the pillar of, you know, that is herd mentality. You know, wherever you see more people, you feel like going there. We start feeling that maybe this is the right place, so I should go over there. But my dear friends, please, we should not go by majority, because majority doesn't mean that it is right. Sometimes minority could also be right. Let us give benefit of doubt to this particular fact also. We people might be in the minority, but we are representing the words of God. And it is always said that satyam eva jayate, truth will always be triumphant. So even though it is minority, let us not get allured by this false propaganda of Kali and get carried away that this is what everybody is doing. If I want to be part of them, I will have to do that. Nobody has to do anything. Everybody has independence. Everybody has intelligence to make the right choice. In fact, when Srila Prabhupada went to the West, he was very much surprised to see the ultimate degree of degradation that could ever be possible in human civilization. What he went to the West and he saw. But he never compromised in preaching the principles of dharma. He told all these four. He didn't say that for the West I will tell only two or three, you know. If I tell all four, then nobody will become a devotee. But no, he never compromised. He told all four. And in fact, sometimes he used to joke with his disciples. He used to say that if ever the government knew, US government, what I have come here to do, they would have never allowed me in. Because the whole world economy is today based on breaking these four pillars. The whole industry is based on this. Womanizing, meat eating, bars, casinos, brothels, all these things are what is giving money to the government today. And government is so selfish. They don't think. What the government is going to think that you go to hell. You drink, you womanize, you gamble, you take intoxication, you go to hell. But we are getting the profit, no? So who cares, you know? They are not even bothered. But Parikshit Maharaj, he was not that type of a government. he was feeling very bad. As soon as he saw these symptoms of Kali, he wanted to kill. So he immediately took out his sword and he wanted to kill this black man who was destroying these pillars of Dharma. So Kali, he was very intelligent. What he did? He immediately fell at his feet and he surrendered. Because he knew that if I surrender, then I will get his mercy. He knew that is a symptom of a great soul. That great soul, anybody who comes to their shelter, they will always give protection. On Monday, we are celebrating Ram Navami. And we see that in the pastime of Lord Ramchandra, when Vibhishan came to surrender to Ram, all the monkeys, they became very afraid. They were all wondering that Vibhishan, he is the brother of Ram and he is coming to our side. What are his motives, you know? Maybe we should not take him. Ultimately, he is the brother of Ravan. He is a Rakshasa. Maybe he is a spy. Maybe he will leak out our everything. Maybe he will do this. Maybe he will do that. So we should not take him in. But what did Ram say? He has come to my shelter and I have to give him shelter. What to talk of Vibhishan? Even if Ravan will come to take shelter of me, I will give shelter even to him. Because that is my promise. That anybody who will come to my shelter, I will give shelter to that person. So Parikshit Maharaj, following in his footsteps, he also gave shelter to Kali. And he did not kill him. But obviously he could not allow him to remain in his kingdom because he would create havoc. He said, I will not kill you, but you have to get out from here. You cannot remain over here. So what Kali started saying, but I am also a citizen. Give me a place where I should go. And what did Kali say? What did Parikshit say? Said, you go to where? Go to these four places. Go to the place where drinking is going on. Go to the place where womanizing is going on. Go to the place where gambling is going on. And go to the place where meat eating is going on. And you stay over there. Don't come into my kingdom. These are the four places of Kali. And when we hear this, we feel very hopeless. That means everywhere Kali is there today. Because all these things are going on openly. Government is giving open permits to do all these things without any discrimination. So what is the hope for us? Is there any hope for us? Prabhupada said there is hope for us. He said that when you know winter season is coming, monsoon season is coming, it will be very cold. It will rain a lot. So how do you protect yourself from that? You get warm clothes or you get a raincoat or you get an umbrella. You cannot stop the seasons, but you can definitely protect yourself. So same way when Kaliyug is there, all these things are everywhere. You cannot stop Kaliyug. Well, that is the natural season that is there right now. But we can definitely protect ourselves. And how do we protect ourselves? By vaccinating ourselves. When there is an epidemic going on anywhere, how do you protect yourself from getting affected and party to that disease? We can protect ourselves by vaccinating ourselves. And what is the vaccination given? Krishna himself has described this vaccination in the Srimad Bhagavatam. He mentions that Kalera Dosha Nidhe Rajan Asti Eka Mahatguna Kirtanad Eva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Param Vrajet. What does he say? Kalera Dosha Nidhe Rajan. Nidhi means ocean. That Kaliyug is the ocean of faults. In the last few minutes we were just discussing how many faults of Kaliyug are there. So many faults are there. So it's a big ocean. But in this ocean, there is Asti Eko Mahatguna. There is still one benediction. And what is that benediction? Kirtana Deva Krishnasya Mukta Sangha Param Vrajet. What is that? Chanting the holy names of the Lord. That is the only one benediction that has been given to us by which we will be able to protect ourselves from the effects of Kali. And that is exactly what our Krishna consciousness movement is teaching us. What is it teaching? Chant Hare Krishna and follow these four regulative principles of freedom. No meat eating, no intoxication, no gambling, and no illicit sex. So if you will be able to follow these principles, then you will be able to free ourselves from these contaminated things or unwanted things which are affecting our hearts, of all these six anarthas: lust, anger, greed, pride, envy and anger. And by this we will be able to save not only ourselves, but we will be able to save everybody around us also by setting the right type of example. We say that Krishna is promising in Bhagavad Gita that whenever there is a decline in religion, I will appear in every yuga. But listen, today so much adharma is around. Why is Krishna not appeared? Where is Krishna? Why is Krishna not coming? Even though there is so much adharma around. Anybody like to try to guess? It's too bad to come. Yes. Krishna is there. It says, Kali Kale Nama Rupe Krishna Avatar. That Krishna has come. Obviously, he has promised. It's a promise of a gentleman. No gentleman will break his promise. What to talk of Krishna breaking his promise? Because he has promised he will come whenever there is adharma. So he has come. He has come in this age of Kali in the form of his holy name. So now that we can understand that he has appeared over here. So as Srila Prabhupada said, why not open our hearts and receive this incarnation of God that has come in the form of his holy name and apply this principle to our life and try to chant. Chant and purify our existence. And by this, what will we become? We will become part of the solution and not become part of the problems of this world. And in this way, we can help in upholding these pillars of dharma. By following all these things, we can actually help by becoming solutions and not problems. And we can help in protecting and upholding all these four pillars of dharma. The pillar of cleanliness, mercy, austerity and truthfulness. Does that make sense? Thank you very much. Anybody has any comments or questions? Mother, you would like to add anything? It's quite late. If anybody has one question or something, we could take it. Otherwise, we can have kirtan and try to apply the process. And at least begin the process for those who have not begun. For those who have. She has a question. We hope that after, with an open mind, you try to understand that what these principles, universal principles of religion are, so that we can apply it. It should never be that we attend lectures and we go home and we remain the same. If we apply it, then we can change our lives.
Hare Krishna Mataji. My question is that you said about these four classes. I wanted to know, Shudras, they used to follow principles or not?
They used to follow?
Regulatory principles, and they used to follow Shastras or not?
They used to follow, because Shudras also is part of Varnashram. Four of these are part of Varnashram, but there are classes below this also. There is fifth class, sixth class, seventh class, eighth class. There is the Mlechas, the Yavanas, all these people. So after Shudras, they don't follow the principle. They don't follow the principles of dharma. But even Shudras in those days used to follow. Of course, today nobody follows. So almost everybody is like a Shudra. It is said, Kalau Shudra Sambhava. Everybody is a Shudra. But even Shudras used to follow. The lowest class used to follow the principles of dharma. Put it on. It's on.
Yeah. I also wanted to know about unregulative sex. What you said, does that mean only physical, or is it any kind of relationship other than marriage?
Other than marriage?
Yeah. These days people just go around and, mix around. I wanted to know, is that only the physical activity or anything other than that?
The other things lead to the physical activities, right?
Yeah, but then there are few people who say, we understand the regulatory principle, but is it fine then we are not involving ourselves in a physical activity? Then is it fine, right?
See, we know that physical activity is bad in itself, but a thought leads to an action. So it would be very difficult. It would be only one out of few who could be able to maintain what you are trying to say. But usually it would be that you start off in a small way and you land up in a mess. That's how today we see homosexuals and everything is there. Because it starts off in a small way and it goes on unrestrictedly. Not only between man and woman, now it is between women and women, men and men. So it's going from bad to worst, These things, if they were told some years back, it would be like shocking. But today, every child even in India, people know it, because few years back it was only that it is in the West. And even in the West, it was very rare. Then it came to India, which was also very rare. Now in India also, it is very common. So it is just a matter of time. All these dharma, it only keeps diminishing more and more and more. So today, what we see amongst ourselves and we are surprised, tomorrow we will not even be surprised by that. nothing will be surprising. The worst thing will be very, that, oh, that's okay, you know. But in that day, in those days, even just hitting of a bull and cow was so unusual for Parikshit Maharaj. So, not only talking of illicit sex, all the other pillars also. You might just say, what's wrong in just, being in a bar? I'll go to the bar, but I won't drink. I will be with a prostitute, but I won't have a relationship with her. Or I will go to the gambling, this thing, and I won't gamble. But the atmosphere around is such that you will be forced, simply by being in that place, not your fault, but the atmosphere around is such that it will force you to do that. So why not be intelligent, and why should we try to think that we are so great, I will do and I will still not get affected. Better do the opposite, that why not be with devotees and get intoxicated in a positive way. Like all the things they said, the positive alternatives in the drama, they showed that how you can dovetail your lust and anger and greed and pride and everything. So why not do that?
Hare Krishna Mataji.
Does it?
Yes, thank you Mataji.
Yeah.
Hare Krishna. I just want to know, as you said, one should not go for abortion and all. But suppose the situation is such, it's affecting either a mother's health or the child's health, where one is advised to go for it, then what one should? Either one should go
then
for
it? Then it has to be done, because it is not for your sense gratification. It is for protection, and protection of life is a principle of dharma. You have a right to protect. Kshatriyas used to attack for protection. If somebody comes to attack, it is said in the scriptures, if somebody comes to kill you, you have a right to kill the person. But I cannot just go around killing anybody. So if the mother's life is at stake or the child's life is at stake, then it is permitted. But this is very rare. People, they just use this as an excuse. Okay, oh, it is like that. But it's mainly they don't want the responsibility. They want to enjoy without responsibility, which is not possible. So we have to be very honest, to ourselves, because you might be able to convince the whole world, but God knows. And you will have to suffer the sin. The greatest crime would be that, for a mother to do that.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna Mataji.
Prabhuji, mic. Not on. Is it on?
Ma'am, I wanted to ask that if I go to convince that non-vegetarian that don't eat meat, what
if I go to?
If I want to convince them that don't eat meat, what they argue is you kill mosquitoes, you kill plants, they are also living beings. So what is the concrete answer I should tell that? What is the difference? That mercy point.
It's a very long topic to go into a discussion, but in short, every living entity subsists on another living entity, right? Jivo, jivasya, jivanam. That's what it is said. But you should eat what you are prescribed to eat, what you are meant to eat. You will never see a cow eating a tiger. Cow will eat grass only, or a rabbit. You will not see a rabbit eating a rat or a cat or anything like that. Rabbit will also eat carrots or cabbage or like that. So what you are meant to eat, you eat that. So what are humans meant to eat is also given. What are we supposed to eat? Patram pushpam phalam toyam. That's what we are meant for. So why try to, even our system, if you go into detail, our digestive system is not meant. We don't have canines like the animals have got, the meat-eating animals have got. So we are not meant for that. So why try to be that? What you are not meant for? If there is, it's just we are doing it for the tongue because we like the taste of it. But we don't have a right. As we said that Krishna is the father of all living entities, how will he like it? He will never forgive you for that. There are scriptural injunctions for meat eaters that if you want to eat meat, eat in a restricted way, and by doing that you will gradually stop eating if you are intelligent. Because it says that for every hair on the animal of the which you kill, you have to take a birth and suffer, and that animal will kill you for every hair. Now, usually animals are very hairy people, They have a lot of hair. So, who wants to take the risk of, for every hair on that animal, that many births you take and that animal will come and kill you. Is that intelligence? And all for what? Just to satisfy the tongue? As if there is no wheat, there is no vegetable, milk, fruits, it is not there. And we see, even if it is not healthy, in the West, this vegetarian movement is becoming so much predominant because they have realized that non-vegetarian food, which is not meant for us, is the root cause of so many diseases. Colon cancers and this cancer and that problem and this problem. So they are also becoming vegetarians. So they are becoming because of health reasons. And we are becoming because of dharma reasons. But ultimately, everybody comes to their senses. बोलते हैं ना लातों के भूत बातों से नहीं मानते. सो दे हैव टू बी किक्ड बाय मटेरियल नेचर एंड सफर दिस डिजीजेस, देन दे विल कम टू देयर सेंसेस एंड नॉट डू इट. सो व्हाई नॉट बी इंटेलिजेंट एंड नॉट डू इट एनीवे. देयर आर मेनी रीजंस बट टाइम इज शॉर्ट सो वी जस्ट टेल हिम. लास्ट क्वेश्चन.
By illicit sex, actually, does it mean that even in a husband and a wife, that is even in a married life nowadays, people perform sex just for their own sense for their sense satisfaction? So is that also considered as an illicit sex or no? That is not into that.
There are levels of any principles that you can follow in life. Okay, when you are going into school, there are certain rules which you have to follow. If you follow all the rules, then you are a first class student. You will get a prize. You will get an award or a medal. If you don't follow all, then you remain a normal student. But if you break it, then you are expelled from school. So in the same way, whenever any principles are given, the highest principles will be given. If you follow that, then you are first class. If you remain normal, then it is okay. But if you break, then it is bad. So the highest things given in the scriptures is to have sex only for the purpose of procreation. Only when you want to produce a child, you should have sex. But that is the highest which you should be following. But if not that, at least have with your own partner instead of having illegally and unrestrictedly with anyone and everyone. And this is becoming so open and so shameless. I just happened to read a poster of a movie. We are not supposed to read, but just such big posters in front of your eyes, you just can't avoid. I forget the name of the movie, but two lines were written which I was so shocked by that I didn't feel like looking at the poster second time. It said that three women swap their husbands. I mean, what are we talking about? This is the thing that is happening, and this is being shown in the movies. These medias are ruining our society today. They are showing all these things, and youngsters feel that if it is publicly permitted, then why not, you know? This is common, I can do it. People's married lives are getting ruined. People are miserable because of that. Because they try to imbibe what they see in movies. The actors and actresses, they have ruined their lives. When I came to Krishna consciousness, the first thing that struck me was how all these actors and actresses, this whole business is only of prostitution. It might sound very harsh, but I was a fan of movies. I used to love watching movies. But when I understood the principles of dharma, I said, this is open prostitution going on, you know. One person, the husband and wife might be acting in the same movie, and the wife is with another man, kissing and embracing, and the husband is with another wife. What is all this, you know? How can they tolerate seeing each other doing all this with other people, and you know, like, because they themselves want to do, so they give their freedom to their partner that you also do, I will also do, you be happy and I'll also be happy. This is nonsense going on, you know, absolutely disgusting. So we have to shoot, I mean, we have to keep our goals clear and try to follow the highest and not compromise. You give finger and Kali catches your hand. So be intelligent, don't even give a finger. We stop here. Thank you very much, Hare Krishna. We'll have Kirtan now. Everybody can come on.
Just a few announcements. Just before we start Kirtan, there are just a couple of announcements. The next Chetana program will be on the 14th of May, the same place. The speaker for the next program is Her Grace Kishori Mataji. And our topic for Chetana next time is freedom. And we're going to have some Kirtan now. Everyone's invited to please join in wholeheartedly. We're going to have a lot of singing, dancing, jumping around. Just, you know, let loose and have a great time. And after you do that, there's prasad arranged down for everyone. Please join us for dinner prasadam. If anybody has any questions and would like to talk about the activities of this temple or the other programs that we have, or just generally discuss the philosophy that we've heard about in further depth, you can contact any of the Matajis here. They'll be more than happy to help you. And there's a bookstall put downstairs as well, where you can avail of some beautiful books written by Srila Prabhupada. These are available at very nominal prices. Please take full advantage of these. These books are beautiful. Please try and get them. The stall is just as you go downstairs. So I will now give the mic to Kamal Manjari. Oh, this Monday we're celebrating Ram Navami in the temple. Everyone's invited. Please come. It's a beautiful, beautiful festival. And I'm going to give the mic to Kamal Manjari, who's going to lead us in Kirtan.
Rama Rama Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Everybody please chant loudly, I can't hear you. Everybody loudly.
Hare Hare.
Louder.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Everybody please chant louder. Sab log gaiye.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Everybody please dance, please join us.
Thank you. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Louder!
Everybody please dance!
Hare Hare!
Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Krishna Hare